I want to share with you while I'm here, and as the Lord may help, and Lord willing, from the second epistle to the Corinthians. And I'd like to turn now to that epistle, and I want to read in chapter 3 of that epistle. And I'm really only going to center my messages around one verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But we're going to read a fair amount of the chapter. One of the very wonderful things, among the many wonderful things about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that the Lord Jesus Christ carries on a ministry for us and has left us with every provision for a ministry that is a ministry that is based upon not just the fact that he rose from the dead, but the power of his endless life. And what I have on my heart from this chapter is the ministry of the Spirit of God, only one really aspect of the ministry of the Spirit of God, and I would entitle that ministry From Glory to Glory, if I were to give it a title. And I want to think about this ministry, and it is a ministry from glory to glory. I was very encouraged because a certain several words came up from the time I arrived here this evening in prayer and in discussion with other brethren and some of the remarks that were made from the platform, and that word was change, transforming, transfiguration even, something coming from the Word of God to change our lives. And that's what this ministry that I wanted to share with you is all about. It's a ministry of change, a ministry of the Spirit of God. So shall we turn to this chapter, chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, and we'll begin reading at verse number 7. Now you'll notice as we read down that Paul in this epistle is comparing two ministries, two works. He's comparing the work of the law, the ministration of the law, with the ministration that I want to talk about, the ministration of the Spirit of God. They're being compared here by Paul in this letter. He says, verse 7, "But if the ministration of death, that is the law, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, that is, it came by glory, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?" Now you will know from my remarks that I would put a capital S on the Spirit in this verse. Now some people don't, but I believe it should be a capital S, because it's the Spirit of God. "For if the ministration of condemnation, the law, be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth." What that verse says is, the law and its glory could not compare with the glory of the ministry of the Spirit. "For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious." Then Paul says, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, that is the law. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, that is the heart of Israel, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." And he says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit." What Spirit? Go back up to verse 8. "The Spirit that is glorious." The ministration of the Spirit that is glorious. The Lord is that Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Lord. The Lord is that Spirit. "And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Now this is the verse I want to focus on. "But we all, with open face or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, that is the image of Christ, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now may God bless to our hearts this reading. This is a ministry of change, and I want to tell you right at the outset that this is a ministry that as believers we're intended to be in completely. You're either in this ministry or you're not as a believer. And if you're not in this ministry, all the things God is intending to take place in your life day after day are not taking place. They're just being postponed or put off forever, never to happen. It's a tragedy not to be in this ministry completely and totally. When God saved me some years back, it wasn't long after I got saved that I decided to write a Christmas card and send a Christmas card, which I designed myself, and I wanted to send it out to a lot of people that I had known, friends and relatives. Kind of let them know that something had come in my life. I thought it was a good way to do it. By the time I got finished with the Christmas card, it wasn't much of a Christmas card. It was more of a gospel tract, I guess. So I sent it out. I got a reply from a young man that I'd been at university with. And you know, I have a lot of nice memories of university, but I don't feel very good about my life when I was in university before God saved me. I just assumed it was forgotten. Well, this close friend from university wrote to me. He knew what I was then. I hadn't seen him in a number of years. And he wrote and he said, you know, every year something remarkable happens in my life. And then every decade I've noticed something really amazing happens. And once in a lifetime, something like this happens. The change that must have come to your life. Now, I'm not putting myself forth as any great example. I wasn't flaunting anything about my life when I wrote to him. But it does point to this. God saves us to change us. We get saved through the gospel, and we're not done with that gospel, and that gospel is not done with us. The gospel is a gospel that saves men and women and boys and girls from the wrath of God and saves them so that the Spirit of God might begin to labor and change their lives. And if there's no change ever takes place, and if you're just the same person you were before God, before you profess to be saved, then you know you really want to think about it. You want to think about what you've got, because you were saved so that you might be changed into the image of Christ. That was God's great purpose. What a ministry of change this is. God makes the changes. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, he showed him forth. And God has made his glory known to thousands and thousands and thousands. And he's every day wanting to make his glory known in Christ to every believer. Why? So there might be a change. If that glory isn't known by every believer each day, beginning each day, no change is possible. And if no change takes place, then you won't come back to know more of that glory. And so there's a little cycle from glory to glory. That's what I said was the title. And you're either in that cycle or you're out of that cycle. A lot of reasons why believers who are genuine believers might be out of that cycle. You know, there's believers who have stepped out of that cycle and they've stayed out of it for years. It's pretty sad to come back and talk to them after all those years. They're still here, so that's living proof that God wants them back in the cycle from glory to glory. Otherwise, they'd have been taken away. They wouldn't be here. Now, the letter that Paul sends to the Corinthians, this second epistle, is a letter that I think comes to a focal point at this lovely verse, verse 18. The part I want to speak about tonight is just the opening three words. But we all. Because it's a ministry for all of us. But we all. But Paul's whole epistle, to my mind, focuses on really two things in this epistle. It focuses on this verse, which tells us in a doctrinal sort of way, everything that's involved in this wonderful ministry from glory to glory. Tells us in a doctrinal way. Later on in the epistle, Paul will tell us another side to this ministry. And the other side is that God tells him, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the other side. He brings that in at the end of the epistle. And the whole epistle focuses around these two verses. You get a hold of these two verses and this ministry of the Spirit of God working by the grace of God for you and for me in this epistle, and you see the life of a man who got up every day and he set his clock to glory. His glory. And he let it run through the hours of the day. My change. And then at the end of the day, it came back to his glory. Because there had been changes. And this man went from glory to glory every day, the man who wrote this epistle, and it didn't matter what he had to go through. So all of Paul's hardships and the things he endured in this epistle are because he was a man going from glory to glory. And no other pathway will do if you've got to face the things that Paul faces. And it's a privilege to face those things. No glory is made possible if we don't face those kind of things and are not ready to face them for God. We set the clock to glory each morning. So Paul in this epistle, he has seven chapters where he develops something of this ministry in his life. He develops it here in chapter 3, exactly how it's going to work. It's a ministry of change. It's a ministry from glory to glory. It's a ministry by beholding with an open or an unveiled face the glory of the Lord Jesus. This ministry of change is a ministry that centers in the glory of the Lord. It's by the Spirit of God, and it's for every one of us. And so in these opening chapters, he starts out and he talks about comfort. And he says, comfort comes through this ministry. I couldn't have it, except I had received comfort from the God of all comfort because I was in this ministry. And Paul tells how he took that comfort and stored it up. And then the first opportunity he had, he passed it on. Is that what you do concerning comfort? So many are looking for comfort today. And I'll tell you something. They don't look out for it from the God of all comfort. They want just that the pain that they're going through to be eased, quite apart from the God of comfort, coming in and ministering in his way. Maybe he's not ready to remove that pain yet. The comfort will be there. Are you looking out for it? It may not be in the matter of pain. It may be in the matter of a hundred different things. Are you looking out for it? Are you making the most of that comfort from God when it comes in this ministry? Are you storing it up in your life, and are you prepared to give it back? Because that's what Paul said. He says, I'm comforted, and this comfort comes through Christ, and I'm comforted for just one reason, so that I can comfort another by the comfort I get. That's how he opens the first seven chapters. And he goes on through these first seven chapters, and he takes us right back to comfort in chapter 7 again. He passes by such places as chapter 5, where he reminds us that, he says, I want to be accepted in a coming day. And that acceptance will be decided at the judgment seat of Christ. He says, that's why I labor to be accepted with God. And you know, there's no acceptance with God unless we go through this ministry from glory to glory. So when he talks about leaving this life, departing and being with Christ, which he says in other places is far better, he reminds us that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ when things done in the body or in body will be appraised. Weighed up. Evaluated. And if we haven't gone from glory to glory each day, you can be sure no glory would have accrued to the Lord Jesus in that day. And if no glory has accrued to the Lord Jesus, because of being in this ministry, then everything that you will have at the judgment seat of Christ will be so much wood, hay, and stubble. And you'll be glad to see it go up in flames rather than being gold and silver and precious gems. Things built here for God because they glorified Christ. Because each day began with His glory through change to His glory again. So who are the people involved in this? I want to look at this verse. If we look at verse 18, I want to look at seven parts to it. We're only going to consider one part tonight. And if those that can't be here tonight make it tomorrow, then we'll try and bring them into it. I want to look at who's involved. I call them the participants tonight, but we all. I want to go on to look at the next part with an unveiled face. And I want to call that the provision that God has made for this ministry. I want to look at beholding as in a glass, because beholding as in a glass or a mirror is the way that we lay hold of this ministry for ourselves. It's a ministry to be possessed. You're in it or you're out of it. If you're out of it, there's nothing for God at the end of the day, nothing for Christ. Only if you're in it. I want to look at that little expression, the glory of the Lord, which brings us to the pinnacle and the perfection of this wonderful ministry. Then I want to look at the fact that we are changed into the same image, the image of Christ. That's the prospect of this ministry. It's not a prospect that is ours one day. It's a prospect that is ours now. The changing is to begin right now. And then we're going to talk about from glory to glory, the progress in the ministry, and finally the power itself, the Spirit of the living God. In this chapter, 2 Corinthians, some might read this chapter, and as I said, they would leave a small S on the Spirit in verse 8, because they believe that the Spirit of God is not mentioned here. Well, I think that there's much against excluding the Spirit of God from this. And if you read this whole epistle and see the way the Spirit of God ministered in Paul's life from glory to glory, I think it'll leave you in no doubt that what this epistle about is a man going from glory to glory in shipwrecks with 40 lashes save one upon his back 5 times over, in prison, in all kinds of extreme conditions of hot and cold. And it didn't matter what Paul was called upon by God to go through. He always set his clock to glory, his glory, and went to glory. It changed him. It changed him. So we see the Spirit here, and it's the Spirit of God. And so when he says in verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, he means he's the Spirit of which we're speaking, who is the minister, we might say, this is the ministration of the Spirit of God, which is glorious. He's the same Spirit that he was comparing with the Spirit, with the law and its ministry. That was one ministry. This is another. The law came by glory. The Spirit's ministry comes with greater glory. And we'll see how that is when we consider, Lord willing, tomorrow, something of how we are provided for in this wonderful ministry by the Spirit of God. So there are seven elements I want to look at. Now, the center of this verse is surely that we are changed. If no change takes place in our lives, we haven't got it. Now, we're not the ones to measure the change. God is the one who measures the change. But you cannot have the Spirit of God minister to you and show you the glories of Christ. And you cannot have those glories shown to you without feeling your responsibility to change. Because when the glories of Christ are shown to us, we'll be upon our face before God. Show us exactly what we are. That's why we all need to be in this ministry. Because there's none of us here who can say we don't need to change. Be changed from glory to glory. So we want to talk about the participants in this ministry. But we all. Sounds like a southern expression. You all. We all. Some commentators would look at this and they would say that really the people addressed here are the ministers of the Word of God. I have read that. But it cannot be. Paul's ministry is different than the ministry God may have for you, the service for you, what God intends for you. The wonderful thing today that is being neglected in the church of God is that believers are not taking up the place God has given them. Apart from looking at any other believer and the place God has given them, just taking responsibility for some of the wonderful things that are involved in the gift that every believer has. When you look at the chapters in the Word of God on the gifts, how often do you hear it spoken on or mentioned that we are all given a measure of faith above and beyond the faith that saves to take up our place in the body? We are. That's in Romans chapter 12. How often do you hear it mentioned that we are given a measure of grace to take up our place? That's in Ephesians chapter 4, the second chapter on gifts. How often do you hear it mentioned that we are given, well, perhaps a little lot more often, we are given a portion of the Spirit. The Spirit is given to minister to all believers with all, the King James Version says. Every believer. No, first of all, we think, well, what is this list of gifts, and let's get to it. Can I pick a gift from the list? That's the backward way of going about finding your place in the body. First of all, see that God has given you a measure of faith. Have you entered into the measure of faith He's given you? It's a gift over and above the faith that saved you. And grace, it's a grace over and above the grace by which you were saved. And the Spirit, the portion of the Spirit. The Spirit has come to indwell you with a special portion just for you. I can't do it. I can't do it. Only you can. There's a place that only you can stand in. And you know, if you try and stand in another place, a place you were never intended to stand in, you're just going to make a mess. Paul speaks of the trumpet giving an uncertain sound. I can guarantee you, try and stand in any place but the place God has for you in the body of Christ, and you'll just blow. There'll be no trumpet sound whatsoever. That's an ailment in the church today. Every believer being willing and ready, God enables you to take your place in the body of Christ. And this ministry will take you from glory to glory in that place in the church. We are all participants in this wonderful ministry. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the impact that this center word that applies to all of us being in this ministry should have. It says in the middle of the verse, we are all changed. We ought to be changed. We all, with this unveiled face, beholding as in a glass or mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. The image of Christ. Conformity to Christ. Conformity to Christ is what this ministry is about. See, God doesn't do things by halfway measures. He doesn't want to conform you to the best apostle who ever lived, the best disciple, the greatest preacher, the kindliest woman, the kindliest matron, the best do-gooder. He wants to conform each one of us to the image of Christ. Conformity to the image of Christ and the Spirit's work is given to us in different places in the Word of God. As I said, this is an abundant ministry, this ministry from glory to glory. In Romans chapter 8, we read there that believers are foreknown. God foreknows who it is that will be in this ministry. And those that He foreknows, He calls them into the ministry. He calls them into it because they're predestinated to it. Those that He predestinates are justified. And those that He justifies, He glorifies. And why does He do all of this? That He might conform us to the image of Christ. That's a golden chain that goes from eternity to eternity. The fact that God knew you as far back as we could go. Time does not reach far enough to touch eternity. And that golden chain goes on to glorification in the future. And again, time cannot reach forward far enough to touch the end point of that chain. Five golden links forged by God Himself that says He saved you to conform you to the image of Christ and nothing less, nothing short of that. Never going to be satisfied. And God's sovereignty assures that that will be the case. He guards it with His sovereignty. He is going to conform every believer to the image of Christ. Well, that's, you know, the kind of judicial side of becoming conformed to the image of Christ. The side of the judge. The side of the one who has all things under his control. But there's another side to it. If you came to Galatians, we read there of the fruit of the Spirit. What is that? Love, joy, and peace, and all those wonderful graces of the Spirit that we read about. That's conformity to the image of Christ in a practical way. That's conformity to the image of Christ by our walk, by laying hold of this ministry. That's conformity to Christ not having to do with God's sovereignty, but having to do with your responsibility. Not having to do with God judicially, but having to do with God's grace toward us. And laying hold of that wonderful grace of God to be day by day conformed to his image. And what do we have here? Well, here we have the ministry that links the two together. What God has guaranteed, he's going to start working on right now. The moment you're saved. The moment we are saved, God clears the decks in our lives. He clears the decks that change might begin. Change might begin. Oh, how God treasures that change. He treasures that change above so many things. How will our bodies be changed? Well, the outward man is perishing. You just have to get up in the morning and you look in the wash basin. You might be, this applies to you whether you're 75 or whether you're 15. You look down the wash basin and there's three hairs and you know, you're done for. The outward man is perishing. And it seems as though God is not taking care of the outward man. Why is that? Because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he's going to change the outward man and conform the outward man, the body, to be like Christ. He's going to do that in the twinkling of an eye. But the inward man is renewed day by day. As to the inward man, God begins the moment you are saved. Spirit of God comes in to indwell your life. And the Spirit of God relentlessly labors from that day onward to change and fashion the inward man, the soul and the spirit, like unto Christ. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll have a new body in an instant, like the glorified body of Christ. But what you are in your soul and spirit will be determined according to how you have let the Spirit of God engage in this wonderful ministry in your heart and soul and life day by day. It'll depend on whether or not you've been in the cycle from glory to glory or content to be on the fringe. Content to go along with the crowd, attend the meetings, sing the choruses, have a good time. But never let the Spirit of God have entire control of the soul and spirit, because he is relentlessly committed. If God is sovereign and he guards with his sovereignty the fact that God called you to himself to conform you to the image of Christ, then the Spirit of God is guarding and wars and lusts against the flesh in your heart and soul and life to conform you to the image of Christ day by day. And the only thing hindering him is right here. It's you and it's me. The measure in which we have no faith, or the measure in which we are content to be carnal Christians, letting the flesh have its way, letting the old man have its way. The old man, that Paul says, was crucified. The old man that is fit for the dung heap, nothing else. The old man that time and time again believers, well-meaning believers, want to dress up, Christianize him, put him in the Sunday school, up here on the platform, anywhere at all, as long as it's the price of his survival. And God says, and Christ says, and Paul says, he's crucified. He's done with. I did away with him when Christ died on the cross. And if you're saved and here tonight, and you're saved by the grace of God, the old man was crucified. Do you believe it? If you don't, this wonderful ministry cannot begin. And this ministry is for all of us. We are all participating. We're all participants in this ministry. If you don't believe that, you're not at the command center of the Christian life. Knowing that you're crucified with Christ. Trusting that it is a given and known fact and that it did happen. By faith. Saying, here I am, Lord, in the light of that fact. Ready to obey. That's how walking in the Spirit takes place. Just on those simple terms. Well, I want to think about the impact of this word change, because we need to be changed into the same image, the image of Christ from glory to glory. This is a word that only occurs about four times in the New Testament. And it's very significant where it occurs. The other time we'll see it applying to believers directly is when Paul says that we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Singular place. Many bodies. One sacrifice. The NIV version has many sacrifices. That's wrong. One sacrifice. Many bodies presented. And he says that you be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's the same word. Changed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you might know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? That you be changed from glory to glory. That you be changed every day. Oh, don't let me limit you by setting this clock to glory in the morning when you get up. Knowing something of the glory of Christ and letting it run through the day 24 hours. Don't let me limit you. You run the clock around every 5 minutes if you want. Let there be more glory to Christ. This is a ministry of change. A ministry of change from glory to glory. Cannot take place unless there cannot be this transformation. Unless we're presented to God for the change to take place each day. The impact of this word change comes to us again in two other places, and it's the same word as when the Lord Jesus was transfigured. There was Peter and James and John, and they saw the Lord Jesus on the holy mount. And Peter recollects that event, and he's talking about the fact that we have been made partakers of the divine nature. Well, what does that apply? Or to change. You partake of a divine nature. You're not going to be the same person you were yesterday before God saved you, are you? And the more you partake of the divine nature that Peter says we have been made partakers of, the more you change. Unto what? Unto Christ. Unto his likeness. And when Peter recalls that, he says, we were with him in the holy mount. And we're not just telling you some little fable when we tell you of his coming and his glory. And that was what they saw. They saw the man that they had accompanied with. And all they had ever beheld of him regarding his glory was the moral glory of the Lord Jesus that could not be hid. Mark's gospel says, he could not be hid because his moral glory must needs shine through. It could not be veiled in humanity. It shone through. And those with an eye to see saw it in the Lord Jesus. And then suddenly, one day, Peter and James and John saw him transfigured, changed. And he was changed back to have the glory on that Mount of Transfiguration, which he had before the world began. He was changed to be seen in the glory of his kingdom and his coming of a future day. And Peter says, we beheld him in the holy mount. That change that they saw that day and the beholding of that glory is a glory that we can behold today. It sustained those three men throughout their whole Christian lives. And that's why we've got to see this glory every day, because we won't be sustained without it. We've got to. Every day. Three men saw that glory in that way. Moses and Elijah were there too. There was James, and James' Christian life was a short one. What God had him to do was something that took us just into a few of the chapters of the book of Acts, and then Herod slew him with the sword. A short Christian life. Peter went on longer than James, and Peter fell, and he denied the Lord Jesus, and he was restored. And then Peter fulfilled the commission the Lord gave him to feed the sheep and feed the lambs and to tend them. And he gave us two wonderful epistles. And then we read Peter, or we learn from by tradition at least, that Peter was crucified upside down. Came to the end of his Christian life. It was longer than James. God had a different ministry entirely and a longer length of life for him here. And then there was John. And John went on into old age. And in his 90s, I suppose, he's on the Isle of Patmos, wondering if he'll ever get to see the Lord again. And he sees the Son of Man in glory. And he writes the book of Revelation about it. A man that went on into old age, but it didn't matter. James, short Christian life. Peter, a little longer, great shepherd of the flock. John, the man, the seer, who gave us the apocalypse, the revelation of the Lord Jesus. All were sustained as they saw him in his glory. That glory sustained them. Now what do we have as believers to compare with this if we're to be sustained? Well, Paul says it right here. We all, with all unveiled face, behold by reflection the glory of the Lord. We can see that glory every day as real by faith, and only our lack of faith limits us. That we need to see if we're going to be number one, sustained, and number two, changed from glory to glory. This ministry is for all of us. The old brethren, you know, they used to ask you when you came to the breaking of bread. They used to ask you, were you driving your bullock this morning? Ever hear that expression? You don't know what that means, I suppose. You know what they meant by that? They meant, what are you bringing to the worship? That's what they meant. You know what they were saying in another way? Have you seen his glory? Did you start the day by seeing his glory? Because if you didn't start the day by seeing his glory, we see it through the word of God, that's for sure. How many verses would testify? I don't need to quote a verse that tells us the word of God is necessary to see his glory. I don't need to quote a verse to tell you that we only see his glory in the word of God and by the Spirit of God in us. And how is it reflected? It's reflected through the soul and spirit of man. Have we seen his glory today? Nothing has begun yet today. We haven't seen something of this glory. No change has begun to take place. We haven't seen something of his glory. There was James, there was Peter, there was John. All men who began their Christian lives by beholding the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the ministry of the gospel. That's how you began your Christian life. If you haven't begun your Christian life, that's the glory you want to behold. You want to see that God, who caused light to shine out of darkness, is ready and willing to shine into your darkened heart and give you light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's how your Christian life began. Just the same as James and Peter and John. How are you sustained? From glory to glory. Through the word and by the Spirit of God in your heart, seeing something of these wonderful glories of Christ. It's no accident that Spirit of God links this change here in this ministry with the transformation of all believers collectively, so that many bodies presented to God become one sacrifice, the entire church upon the earth, to know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's no accident that it's linked with the transfiguration and the change of the Lord Jesus, as different as it might be from that wonderful change that took place when Peter and James and John looked up and there he was. As no whiter, no fuller on earth could cause him to shine in greater resplendence. It's no accident. It's no accident because these glories of Christ are to draw us to change. He is bringing many sons to glory. Many sons to glory. It's a prospect not just for one day that we'll be with him and like him. Our inheritance, you know, is thought of as heaven one day, and so it is. But his inheritance is you right now, and me right now. And he wants to take that inheritance to himself in all the wonderful glories of his blessed person. And he can only do that in the measure in which we are changed from glory to glory. Who are the participants in this ministry? Every believer. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not in this cycle, you want to get in this cycle because it's indispensable. It's your life and breath as a Christian to be changed from glory to glory as part of this wonderful ministry. May God help us to all be participants from glory to glory.